Morning, everyone. Turn back to the book of Daniel. Daniel's a great, exciting book with so many wonderful pictures of God's power. The theme this morning is the God we serve is able. Amen. And what a picture here we have as three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were their Hebrew names. They trusted in the God who is able, from Daniel chapter 3. Well, Nebuchadnezzar didn't seem to learn his lesson that his kingdom would not last forever. He sets up this image, 27 meters high, almost 3 meters wide, all of gold in the plains of Dura, and he's commanding every person of every nation and language and culture to be unified in their devotion to his gods and the worship of the statue that he's set up. So that when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you got to bow low. And we see here that three young men stood up. Actually, they might not be that young anymore. Maybe they're by middle age now. And they're refusing to bow before the image. We see here a picture of the jealousy of the astrologers. These men had been promoted along with Daniel years before in the school of Nebuchadnezzar. And now they're being promoted in recent years to be main administrators in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. So this jealousy had built up for many years. Beware of the danger of jealousy. Of course, we've already learned, and we will learn time and time again, especially next week, Lord willing, as we look at Daniel chapter 4, the danger of pride. Nebuchadnezzar is filled with himself, and as the kingdom, the hanging gardens of Babylon, the wide walls of Babylon are being built year by year. He just thinks he's the cat's meow and the dog's bow wow. There's no one like him. There's no king like him. And whether he puts up this image as a symbol of himself or of his dominion, he's not convinced that it's not going to last forever. Of course, Daniel had already said, you know, you're the head of gold. After you will come other kingdoms. But he builds a whole statue of gold and commands people of every language to bow before the statue. So we have a lesson here. This world's, as we apply it to ourselves, this world's ungodly system often demands our compliance, our devotion, our loyalty, and sometimes even our worship. So what are we going to do? You don't have to live in Saudi Arabia where you have to be a Muslim, or in India where increasingly you have to be a Hindu, or in China where you increasingly have to bow down to the communism regime, to apply this to ourselves. The nature of our culture wants everybody to agree with the systems that are in place to be this or that as far as a political or religious stance. And the challenge for us is this. If we're a Christian, am I willing to take a stand for God and be true to him no matter what it costs, even my very life? And we could be on earth when this takes place. A political system, according to Revelation chapter 13, demands a unified worship. He's called the beast that comes out of the water. And then there's a second beast that comes out of the land, symbolizing a religious system that throws in its lot with the political system. So the political system and the religious system all want devotion, and they set up an image. And are we going to bow? Are we going to have a mark on our forehead or on our hand which enables us to buy or sell anything as we increasingly come into a cashless society? And the pressure's on in the future. that you got to bow to the system, a unified anti-God, anti-Christ religious and political system which calls for every tongue and language and nation to bow to that system. If you were living there and then, if I were living there and then, would I be willing to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? But even now, there's all kinds of pressure. Over history, there's been all kinds of pressure, whether it was during World War II days with Hitler. So many illustrations of this in our history. And we can learn that from history that at any given time, the pressure could be on Canadians to tie in with a system. Are we going to take a stand even at the cost of our own lives? Well, Nebuchadnezzar feels there's some kind of a mistake when he hears from the astrologers about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. After all, he's promoted them and he admires them and their work ethic and their ways. And so he gives them another chance. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come here. There must be some mistake. Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, I'm going to give you another chance. You hear that music, you bow down, very good. But if you don't, you're going to be thrown into a blazing furnace. Then what God will deliver you from that? What God could ever possibly deliver you from a flaming furnace? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego boldly proclaim, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend you in this matter. Verse 16. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not going to bow down to your gods or worship the image that you have set up. And Nebuchadnezzar is filled with rage. He orders his strongest people in his kingdom to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he commands that the fire be heated seven times hotter. And it's so hot as they tie them, these three men up, and throw them into the fire. The fire kills the strongest soldiers in his kingdom. Wow, he's powerful. Beware of Nebuchadnezzar and his temper tantrums. He's filled with rage. And that was the end of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? No. Do I have complete faith and trust in my God's infinite power? The God we serve is able. He's able. Years later, there's a king that asked Daniel that same question early in the morning. Daniel had been getting a nice sleep. The king, Darius, had been up all night. Oh, Daniel, has that God whom you serve continually been able to save you from the den of lions? And so we see the parallel. He's able. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were convinced that this God whom they serve continually was able. Is that our theme? That we have confidence that the Lord, as Emmanuel quoted that verse from Ephesians 3, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine according to his power. Well, Nebuchadnezzar looks. What does he see? He says to his administrators, did we not cast three men into the burning fiery furnace, bound, tied up? But I see four men, unbound and unharmed, walking around in the fire. And the fourth looks like one of the son of the gods. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out and come here. And everybody, all these bigwig administrators gather around. They crowd around. Could it be true? Their bodies are not harmed. There's not a hair of their head that is singed with fire. Their robes were not burnt up. And there's not even any smell of smoke on them. They stand in amazement. They stand in awe of God. They stand in awe of God. We read that Nebuchadnezzar says in verse 28, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." And here's a king and a culture that had tried to wipe out the identity of all the nations so that they just blend in with this mighty nation and kingdom of Babylon. But now, in contrast, he's proclaiming that no person say anything against this God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for no other God can save in this way. Wow. Well, there's lots to learn here in this story. Will I rest content that the Lord Jesus is with me in any of the fiery trials that I am facing or will face in my life? I believe, even though Nebuchadnezzar said God sent his angel, I believe it's an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nevertheless, it's certainly the Lord's presence protecting them and revealing the power and the presence of the Lord. Wonderful word of comfort in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 3. This is what the Lord says, "He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." What a wonderful promise. Now, physically, it has not always proved to be true. There's been God's people burned at the stake over the centuries. But it is a wonderful promise that the Lord will be with us, and as eternally, the fires of the devil and the fires of evil will not eternally destroy us. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 14:4, though, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. I will show you whom to fear. Fear him who after your body is killed has authority to throw you into hell. I tell you, fear him." But he goes on to say, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." So, fear the Lord. He is able to cast into the eternal fire, the fires of hell. We have a wonderful promise here that whatever we face as far as fiery trials, the Lord is going to be with us as his people. We also have an interesting contrast, though, illustrated in the Hall of Fame chapter, Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 33, of people who conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, escaped the edge of the sword, quenched the fury of the flames, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle, who routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Wow, what a powerful God. But it's an interesting contrast there after verse 35. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. So there's a tremendous contrast here. Some were miraculously delivered, people of faith. Some people of equal faith, like Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, were sawn in two. But they were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What's your race going to be? What's my race going to be? Am I going to be thrown in jail as a preacher of the gospel? Am I going to be burned at the stake someday in an increasingly hostile culture to Christianity? Are we willing to accept whatever is the race marked out for us? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus went through death so that he could be our Savior and rescue us from the fires that are eternal, the fires of God's holy punishment that we deserve for our sin. So as Nebuchadnezzar makes this decree, the whole world is learning about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The whole world is, of the Babylonian domain at least, is being commanded that they aren't to say anything negative about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the question for us to answer is this: is the fame of the Lord Jesus spreading out to the world because of my stand for Christ? Is Christ's name being proclaimed and revered because of my life? So may it be so. We read in the hymn book, that wonderful hymn that's been around now for 232 years. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you who he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with you. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you. I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Jesus says to his disciples, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was not going to be eternal. It's going to rise, but it's going to fall. Nebuchadnezzar himself, we learn from next week as we look at Nebuchadnezzar's life. God's able to humble the proud. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, Are we humble before Christ? Are we focused on him? Are we centered on his eternal kingdom? Do we love him? Are we going to be true to him? Are we confident that God is able? We read in Revelation 14, 12, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the people who keep God's commands and remain faithful to Jesus. We won't have to worry about being subject to the wine of God's fury, which is poured out in full strength, the cup of his wrath, being tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lord and of the Lamb. We are safe in the arms of Jesus, and those fiery trials are going to refine the gold, consume the dross, and be a testimony of God's grace. Lord, to that end, help us to be faithful. Help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be people of faith in your all-powerful ability. And Lord, no matter what we face, whether it's safety from the den of lions or the fiery furnace or death at the stake, help us to determine in advance that we will be faithful to King Jesus. Spirit of God, work in all of our lives that we might recognize the days in which we live and live accordingly, like Daniel and like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for the glory of your name and for the furtherance of your kingdom and the gospel message around the world. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.